This episode is brought to you by Fat Expats. It's the new expat magazine that's coming your way next month. If you'd like to find out more about it, head over to twofatexpats.com. You'll see a pop-up and you can sign up and we'll shoot you some information. Hello, Nikki Moffat. How are you? It's been forever. It feels like forever anyway.
It has been forever, although we did have that one aborted attempt when when my Wi-Fi failed us. But yes, I'm fine, thank you. We just had a quick break and you turned on your heater and I am sitting here in Hamburg in like almost no clothes because this is the most bizarre situation we've ever had in that it's quite chilly where you are and super, super hot. Hamburg has just had over 9 days of temperatures over 30 degrees, which is a historic record.
Oh, wow.
It's going down in the history books.
Okay. Yeah. And I, of course, am not in Doha, where I usually am in Qatar, where I think it's about 50 degrees. but I have to say, Nikki Moffat, spring has sprung. It is not officially spring, but there are beautiful blossoms everywhere where I look, which is lovely. And you do feel like we are saying goodbye to winter. So while, yes, it is a little bit cold, I have put the heater on. We're sitting here at 5:30 on a Sunday night. But there's promise. There is promise. I sat outside at the cafe where my daughter works today in the sunshine with the dog, having a coffee, watching the waves roll in, thinking, oh, it's coming. I can feel it. The warmth is on its way. Anyway, Nikki, let's crack into our four fat expat questions. What have you got for me?
Well, Kirsty, let's start with something, a topic we've covered before, but now it's about me, so now I'm going to talk about it again. And it's about talking to teens about moving because we're in a situation which our listeners will know in that 12 months ago my husband took a job in Copenhagen and we discussed as a family whether to stay or move because my son had 2 years of school left and we decided that we would stay so he could complete his program, which he had just started for his final year, 2 years of school. So I have never had this long, we as a family have never had this long in knowing that we are going to move and where we are going to go. So we have had this time period with which to think about the kids will have 2 more years at school and then we'll move. Now that has, and then that's fine for my son because he'll be finishing school then. So that's a natural break for him. With my daughter, it's not quite the same. And she's come up with all sorts of excellent ideas and information about what she should do and why she shouldn't move. So I just wanted to revisit perhaps the best tips there are on teens moving. I mean, and because there is no such thing as a perfect time to talk about a move. The world is changing as we speak. Moving with teens before has been one of our top episodes. So now, as I said, it's about me and my teens. I just wanted to get your tips because I know you've done it.
So, I'm interested, Nikki, because the conversation with your daughter in the past was that she was going to go to Australia to school, wasn't it? So is that still a thought, or is it that you're all going to Copenhagen? And hold it, are you all going to Copenhagen? Like, is your son going to Copenhagen with you? Like, how does it look?
Well, in the past we have said that no, he wouldn't go to Copenhagen. He would go to Australia and have a gap year in Australia. But we're not sure now whether that will be able to happen.
Yes.
Given COVID and the changes. And then one of the reasons that my daughter was very motivated to go to boarding school in Australia is because her brother would be there for that year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure how often he'd visit her. I don't really understand. But in her head, I guess. And so because that might not happen, she has come up with a plan that she thinks she should stay in Germany now while we all go to Copenhagen. on her list of preferences for the 2021-22 school year, Copenhagen is last.
Yes.
Whichever list she writes, whichever way she writes it, that is last on her list. So
yeah, because I guess like many of us, if you're happy where you are, change is not going to be an enticing idea, is it?
I think for 14-year-old girls particularly, not.
No. Oh, look, Nikki, I think there's a whole other story here that maybe other people aren't aware of at the moment with Australia, and that is that you can't just fly back to Australia anymore. It's not a possibility. So we have many Australians who are stranded, and because of the Australian government's decision of their own, there is a quota of how many Australians can come back in. And so we're seeing that many Australian expats are sort of stuck in a world where they thought they were coming back, you know, on August 1st, and then their flight got bumped to August 12th, and then their flight got bumped again to August 24th, and then they've heard that actually you've got no chance of even getting in September at all, and it's all to do with, you know, whether the airlines are taking business class passengers first when they have a quota, or whether people who are using air miles don't have a chance, you know, because they haven't paid for a ticket. Who knows? Like, there is that much discussion about it. And I think, Nikki, in your particular situation, that changes everything, because maybe what you thought was going to happen can't happen. In my life, it changes everything, because there's no way I'm leaving my children in Australia and having me go back to Doha not knowing that I can get back in. As you said, you've heard that you have to sign a document to say you won't come back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's really rough. And as you've said before, the reason that you have felt comfortable in the past with your children being at school in another country is that you can get on a plane at a moment's notice and be there. And this was a stretch for us anyway to consider, and my husband never really got on board, because it's not one plane, it's two planes, and it's a 24-hour journey. And if you have to be there, like, that's really tough.
Yes.
To be 24 hours away from your child if you think they need you is tough, but this is not 24 hours. This could be 2-3 months.
That's
so
right.
So it's not, you know, it's not something that you want to necessarily encourage. And I can hear a lot of people saying, well, then you just bite the bullet and you just tell your kid, this is what's happening.
Yes. yes. And I guess I'm probably one of those people, right? In that we've entertained a lot of conversation, because I think that the moving conversation always has to be a fluid conversation in the expat world, because, you know, none of us know what's around the corner and how things can change dramatically. So I think every expat child has to have this continuous conversation about, you know, we don't live here permanently, we are expats, that this, you know, could change at any moment. There's also, I have believed with my four children that each child has been very much an individual, and they've all had very different ideas about moving and whether they've wanted to or not wanted to. I think I've talked before about we were the most worried about our third child, who seemed very, very comfortable in his Qatar world, and he really wasn't given an option as such. He was very much told, well, at this age, at this stage, you will go. And, you know, number one had gone, number two had gone, and I guess the writing was on the wall. He knew that there wasn't really a lot of discussion, but he wasn't particularly happy. That same child I watched play football yesterday with his school in Australia, and the conversation with my parents and my husband and I was just how he has just become so much part of that school. Do you know, like, he's at rugby one day, football the next day, out with mates the next day, very much entrenched, you know, running for different school positions, absolutely loves the school, you know, thinks it's amazing. So you can't, I think with teenagers, you have to remember that things can be so highly emotional at the time, and people can feel so deeply and so strongly, and then they can come back in 3 years' time and say, I cannot believe you let me do that. I cannot believe you let me have that decision. You know, Nikki, I think in this case, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Sorry to state the bleeding obvious, but sometimes adults have to be adults and just say, we're in the middle of a pandemic, we're sticking together through this one. This is not the time for us to be separated as a group. This is the time we stick together.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, I'd love you to fly you in so you could have that conversation with my daughter. She is very, you know, and my kids are individual too. Like I there have been times my children didn't want to move, but I think this is the first time really, because we will have been here for 5 years and now they're both teens. In the past, it wasn't really, it was more of a, let's talk about it. Let's talk about your feelings. Let's talk about all the good things that they'll be in the future. Whereas now it's much more real to them. And she has some very good points. She says, can you guarantee that I can finish my schooling there as you did for my brother in this country? Well, the answer is no. Mm. I mean, even though we guaranteed to our son that he could finish here, we didn't know if that was true. we gave a guarantee, but with her we're more understanding that we need to be more realistic.
But you have guaranteed it with your son, because you've chosen that one of you went ahead and the other one stayed. So you've done everything to guarantee it.
No, I'm saying, but when we promised him at the time, we promised him with the intention of fulfilling our promise, but not knowing that we could. Well, and I guess well, we tried as much as we could.
Yeah.
And so, and now my husband, and because we had worked with and traveled with the same company for the 15 years, now my husband's working for a new company, which we don't have that same understanding about length of time, of locations, et cetera, et cetera. It seems that people there move much more regularly than they did in the last place my husband worked. So when she says, can you guarantee I can stay there till I finish? The answer is not really, but like, so
hold it. But then why, you know, like you say you guaranteed your first child, but you didn't really know. So why aren't you guaranteeing her when you don't really know?
I that's a very good question. I think he was younger than she is now, so we could get she has a different way of arguing and different skill sets in that area. But it's a good point. And, you know, I think with the pandemic, and you just have to make, while we're trying to not protect our children from the pandemic, but try and cushion the blow for them because they think everything is very big, you know, not being able to see their friends, not being able to go to school, not being able to, you know, all sorts of things. We're trying to cushion it for them in a way, but we're keeping part of the realism of it away from them. And the realism is, you know, there could be no job tomorrow, and in which case we'd all have to go and get on the line for a plane to Australia.
Yes. You know, and hope to be back by 2023.
I mean, there is so many unknowns at the moment that it is really difficult, and for people that like certainty and planning. And that's why Australia appealed to her, because she said, I don't want to have a gap year. I want to go to university in Australia, get a job in Australia. So me going to Australia now is like me starting my life in Australia. And I understood that from her point of view. And, you know, we have a lot of family there. And like that was not our top plan in our minds, the parents' minds, but it was the top plan in her mind. And it was a plan that made sense, but it just doesn't necessarily make sense anymore at the moment.
Yeah.
The world is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it goes back to that too. Like, I always had these three rules with my kids of why we're moving, when we're moving, and where we're moving. And, you know, that they had to be really clear on those three things, like to be on board, you know, this is why, this is when, and this is where, and these are the great things about all of those three things, you know. And we all know that when you have tiny children, you dress those things up, you know, oh, we're going to be so much closer to Disneyland, even if you don't know whether you'll ever get there. But all those things that you can do with little people, because little people just happily love you and believe you and trust you and, you know, do those things. And you're right, teens don't feel that same. I mean, little people are writing you letters every day to tell you how much they love you you and how good you are. I mean, teenagers just don't do that.
And teenagers think that their friends are more important than their parents.
Absolutely.
Which I totally understand. And I remember feeling the same way. So I understand her concerns and her issues. I'm finding it very difficult. She's finding it difficult. And so I'm just searching for anything. I'm searching for any hint, clues or tips. Look, because it is an emotional time.
Your kids have to feel like they've had as much input as they possibly could. So I think the most important thing is they feel like they've been listened to, because probably deep down they know the reality, and deep down they don't want you to leave the country and leave them there in a time that they don't know when they're going to see you again. Deep down they realistically go, oh, I'm clever enough, I've travelled enough that I know that I could be stuck here, and who knows when mum and dad would be able to get me out of here. But they feel robbed. And, you know, I had a conversation with a girlfriend today. She was saying her son's in first year university. He has lived for this moment. He got into this, you know, fantastic arts course at university that he's dreamed of doing for 2 years. And he's angry because he's not getting to go and do any of those things. You know, there are no performances. There's no going to the festival theatre to do amazing shows. There's no getting together to, you know, create these incredible productions that he'd dreamed about doing. And he's just plain angry. And I think we all, with teens, we all know that. We're all living it. We're all feeling it. But our teens in particular are particularly robbed. But I feel like the most important thing is that they feel like they're at least being heard. So if she has to vent and disagree and debate and do all of that, you're just gonna have to make her feel like, yep, I'm with you, I hear you, but I'm not leaving you because I adore you and I'm your mum and I couldn't live without you right now.
Oh, look at that. That's a great tip. Thank you. I'm gonna record that. Oh, I have. And listen back later. Okay, Kirstie, thank you for that.
Okay. Hey, Nikki, I wanted to ask you about something. We call ourselves the two fat expats, and it's got nothing to do with weight. It's all about living a fat expat life and jamming as much into it as you can. But today I'm veering into the discussion of weight because I think there's something we've never really talked about here that is kind of a bit rife, I guess, in the expat world of, you know, while we've had COVID, people have talked about and made jokes about, instead of COVID-19, that we've got the COVID-15, where everyone's put on their 15 pounds in, or 15 kilos, if you may, in the isolation and quarantine. But these sort of things have happened to expat for years, where we've moved from country to country, and in the stress and the build-up of moving to the new location and not having friends or not having transport or not having the ability to get somewhere and get out and about, and maybe it's just that lack of connection or emotional eating or whatever it is. And I wanted to ask you, Nikki, has that sort of been the case for you? And if it has, how have you managed it?
Yeah, I honestly think it has. I mean, I remember going to Hong Kong for our look-see and feeling how hot it was, like walking outside and feeling the intense sort of the humidity and thinking, this is awesome. I'm never going to eat here. I'm going to lose so much weight without thinking about any of the other things that I was going to have to deal with, which are mentally, you know, mental health related in moving and friends and depression and whatever. But so I think every time you move, and the other thing about when you move is your eating habits change because you can't get the same food. You don't get the same kind of food. You're not eating the same meals at the same times, at all sorts of bits and pieces. So even though in the beginning you think you have to eat the same food, so you search high and low in 65 supermarkets for the exact same brand of something that you had somewhere else because that's important. So I think that you, all those things get disrupted when you move, and it's something that needs to be taken. And the other thing is your exercise routines change. So anything that you're doing can change. So I moved from when I moved to Hong Kong the first time, I had two dogs and a baby and a big pram, like one of those jogging prams, in St. Leonard's in Sydney, and I was walking everywhere with my dogs and my baby. And then I moved to Hong Kong. You can't walk anywhere, and you certainly can't take one of those big prams anywhere. So, you know, and it's very hot and all that kind of thing changed. And then, you know, then I got into routine. I played hockey. I went hiking. I did all that stuff. When I moved countries again to South Africa, I didn't play hockey. I didn't go hiking. I did surfing and golf, and, you know, and I had to find different ways to do things. And again, my food process changed, my eating changed, my exercise changed, and it's all affected by your mental health. So I think it's not necessarily about weight. It's an overall health issue. It's an overall issue, and it may impact your weight. And I think that it's really important to just give yourself a break. I mean, everywhere I've moved, I've got into something in the end. Different countries have taken different amounts of time and I've ended up doing different things. But it's tough, you know, because your eating habits change and your stress levels change and your what you eat changes and how you exercise and when you exercise and what you have available. I mean, as we've talked about before, usually the supporting partner who's not necessarily going into work on the first day takes a lot of the load on in terms of administration and, you know, if you're going somewhere with a new language and there's all these things that are in your head, it's just like, well, yeah, I need to open a bottle of wine before I deal with this. So, you know, and not necessarily wine, or I'll have another chocolate, a piece of chocolate because whatever. You know, you never get into the, and you've talked about it before, when you go from Australia to, you know, Qatar to Australia, you're usually there for a few weeks. And so you can have like your fun foods or whatever because it's just a short process. And a lot of people, and I, well, not a lot of people, I definitely take a long time to get out of that when I move to a new country. I'm like, oh, look, this is a really cool thing I found at the bakery. I'm just going to have another one of these tomorrow. I don't know how good or bad it is for me. I just know I like it. It's new, whatever. So there are all those things that I think you need to take into consideration because, and I think now, Kirsty, because we're so old in the expat world, it's easier in a way because of all the technology around you. So if you had a Peloton in one country and did Peloton app stuff, you can do it in the next country you move to, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there is, so I'm not saying it's impossible to do and you can't do it, and people that have done it every time, hats off to you. If I had, I'd take it off.
Yeah, like people who lose weight when they have babies. Yeah, hats off to you. Yes. Hey, look, and I think too we are so hard on ourselves as well in that, you know, one of the things I've done since I've been home is I've had to clear out the study. It was that job that just got left because it was too painful to, you know, have to unpack those last sort of boxes. But, of course, all the old photos were in there. And you look back, and like so many women do, you look back and you go, oh, my God, I thought I was overweight then. Do you know? And I so was not overweight. Like, why was I so hard on myself? You know, you see a thing, you go, oh, I didn't wear that sleeveless top because I thought I had fat arms or whatever. And you go, oh, sister, you've got no idea what's coming. You should have worn that sleeveless top. So I think that's one thing I'd like to say too is don't be so hard on yourself. But I have noticed that the old intermittent fasting gets a lot of mentions in our Two Fat Expat group. We, of course, have the Two Fat Expats Facebook group. And I do think that maybe intermittent fasting is a good thing for an expat because it doesn't matter whether you're somewhere really remote where you don't have access to food, or you're in central Paris, you know, or you've gone to Doha, or if, you know, whatever, you know, if you're a vegan or if you're gluten-free or whatever, intermittent fasting kind of works for everyone. And that that is something that you could capture and go, okay, well, that's how I'm going to maintain it or not get sucked into it or whatever. But yes, we do. And a big shout out to Miss Shardy, who we quite often say hello to, Nikki, who I know is on the intermittent fasting, and also our Rachel Award, who's in our group. She's big on the intermittent fasting. But I did think that that was maybe an answer if people were like, thinking, oh, this is just getting really hard.
And I think the other thing about quarantining, as some people in some countries are doing now, and having to spend a lot more time at home, which means you're in a lot more proximity to the big silver box, as we call it in our house. So there's a lot more times that you can just, that you happen to be walking past the big silver box and open it up and have a look what's in there. So I think that if you're thinking, oh, I can't exercise because I can only go outside 1 hour a day or whatever, you can have another form of control. And I'm not trying to tell people they need to control. But if you're looking for something that you want to do, I think that intermittent fasting is easy, it's free, it's cheap, and it can help you. It helps so many people, not necessarily just lose weight, but also feel better about themselves, sleep better, all sorts of things. We're not an ad for it, we're just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Okay, Kirsty, I want to know this. Creativity during Corona, up or down? There's so many articles saying, it's okay, let's just get through this. Don't worry if your creativity's bad. And then bang, like Taylor Swift drops an album that she's recorded totally during lockdown, et cetera. I mean, but I am finding myself really struggling. Like I struggle for creative ideas at work. I struggle for the four fat questions every week. You're like, oh, bang your questions in. And I'm like, okay. And I really sort of have to, but I'll give you a tip after this. I really sort of have to, I struggle for all those sort of stuff. So, starting something and keeping it going, I did so great on my 50 and 50 days. And then I've really struggled since then to be consistent on other things. So I think I'm going back to that. But I'm just like, I'm not coping. What about you?
Yeah, my creativity is dead, completely, completely dead. And I'm kind of looking forward to this week's Fat Four for a bit of motivation. But I think for me, it's a number of things. I think there's too much. I feel like just to get up in the morning and get through the day and get to the end of that day and still be functioning is such a big deal at the moment. The idea of being creative and, I washed the dog today. That is a huge accomplishment for me. I washed the dog. I swept the floors. I cleaned some, skirting boards, whatever. I'm just trying not to, I know I've used the term, don't be so hard on yourself, but I think I'm really trying to do that at the moment. But, I think the personal stuff for me is just sucking all that creativity out. And because the last time I guess I probably had something like this was when I had breast cancer, and I could write about that until the cows came home because that was my story and it was my story to tell. And all the stuff I have going on at the moment affect me, but they're other people's stories. And it feels very sort of disingenuous to talk about it when they've got, drama. So
yeah, how it's impacting you when it's not.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. So,
but it certainly does impact you. Can I just say, I'm not taking anything away from what you're doing and all the support. And I know there's other stuff going on that you're helping a lot of people right now in a lot of different situations.
Yeah. So. And also I'm a little bit hooped work-wise at the moment too, because I finished working just before COVID happened. And now I'm kind of feeling, because I'm in this space of limbo, I'm an expat, I'm meant to be heading back to Doha, I'm meant to be doing that. But with what's going on in our world at the moment, I can't get back to Doha and I can't go back to my expat life. But I have not repatriated, and I get quite brittle with, and someone just said it to me today. We went around the corner to look for a house for sale, and this woman said to me, oh, so you've moved back full time. And I could not have shot out, no, I have not, fast enough. And she said, but you've got a dog. And I said, I've also got children here and I have no problem leaving them either. Look, I was just podcast because, you know, we do have a dog, but the dog is very much our daughter's dog as it is ours, and it's a shared dog. But it was like, oh, I could feel my hackles going up because, no, I haven't moved back. You know, that's why would you assume that? And I guess too, is that me being worried that they're writing my husband off, that he won't be back, you know, because he will, because he's going to get better and he's going to go back to his normal life. And don't you dare intimate that that would not happen, you know, because that would be the worst thing in the world for us, you know. But yeah, so I am, but I'm hoping, Nikki, that I've got a couple of ideas coming up in our, you know, for fat ideas of things that we're going to do, and we can talk about that. What about you?
That's awesome.
Tell me about yours.
I have said my creativity is not that great, but what I would say is what I've started doing now is I used to use Evernote to type things, like, and I'd think, oh, I'll just have a little notepad. And so when things come up, I'll just type it on my phone. And then even that got too hard, like opening the app and typing. I was thinking, goodness me, Nikki, get yourself together. And when I was doing a lot of walking, you know, you can't walk and type at the same time because you might walk into something, which, yeah, someone might have done that. Might not be me, might be. But anyway, so what I've done is I've started using the voice app on my phone, which my son uses a lot. Yeah, so he uses that a lot for school. And so I'm always telling him, go and do a voice note about this or that. And I'm thinking, what am I telling him to do that? Why don't I do it? So I'm going to tell you that I've got the next few weeks' four fat questions already in my voice notes.
Fantastic.
Because sometimes I think about things and then they go away so quickly.
Yeah.
And so I've started to voice note it. So you do have to remember to go back, but it's just so much easier. And just that, anyway, that's my tip for today.
Yes.
Kirsty, what's our last question for today?
Our last question is I'm changing it. You're going to go, what? You haven't written that down. So, Nikki, we were going to talk about the black and white photos, you know, the hashtag challenge accepted, but I do think that time has been and gone. You know, that was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a hashtag challenge accepted, and it just annoyed me because I think the message just got completely lost. But I think that has been discussed enough, unless you'd like to discuss it some more.
I just want to add one thing and then we can move on for sure, is that this proves our whole point about what the whole conversation we were going to have is about, because that's so 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And now it's gone.
Yes.
And did we ever really know what it was about? Yes. There's just a whole lot of black and white photos of women on the internet.
That's right.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Moving on.
So, but I wanted to talk about, Nikki, just take a moment, because just before I hopped online with you, I had a message from a girlfriend who is just really struggling at the moment. And she moved right when COVID happened, and it has just been a revolving shit show, basically, excuse the French, in that it's been tough. She's done an entire summer in a really tough location in blazing heat with no friends. Her job's pretty much sort of fallen through, /, don't think I can do it anyway because it's all going to be too hard. You know, and just she said something to me about, because it's quite an isolated location where she is, of how she's watching people really struggle all around her as well. And, you know, whether it's people drinking too much, you know, through depression, or people losing a shed load of weight, or people who just break down in tears because they can't cope with it anymore. And, you know, I think the whole thing about being an expat, and maybe even being an expat woman, is, you know, there still is this princess tag that is attached to so many of us with, oh, but you've got help, or, oh, but you've traveled all over the world, or, oh, but you've got a fantastic job, or kids in great international schools or whatever, just shut up and stop complaining. And the thing is, at the moment, there are some expat women and men, but I'm thinking about my expat women today of that are just doing it so hard, who do not know when they're going to get home. And yes, you know, people have said you should have made a decision to go earlier, or you should have done this, but how, what? Do you leave your job for 12 months? You leave your life and go home? And the whole idea of, you know, not knowing when you'll see aging parents again, or not having to make a decision to leave your partner to take your children somewhere else. There is just a lot going on. And so I thought, Nikki, maybe we could use this little space of time, rather than talking about hashtag challenge accepted, to just say that we are thinking of you wherever you are, and we too are feeling the pain and the frustration, and we're scared as well. We don't know how this all pans out or how this story ends, but we're thinking of you, and we are all in this together.
We are totally all in this together, and that is a good segue from the challenge accepted, Kirsty. You see, you've done that. That's very creative, I'd like to say. Because everyone is facing their own challenges and their own issues, and whether we can be a little bit frustrated by when we see people complain online, or not complain online, but comment about things that we think are the least of our problems, because we've got bigger problems. But everyone's problems are their own,
yeah.
And everyone's dealing with their own issues. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, I'm having help dealing with those issues. So,
yeah,
you know, during this time I've gone to a place where I'm getting help for that, because I, you know, we can talk about that more another time, but I couldn't deal with everything I was dealing with alone. So I said, I need help here. And yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit that. So I just think that everyone is running their own race, and everyone's got their little duck legs under the water, and what you see on the top is not necessarily what's going on underneath, or in their mind, or in their house, or wherever they are. So expat people, chicks, women everywhere, we got you.
Yes.
We got you.
Yes.
We're here for the laughs, but that wasn't very funny. But
all right, Nikki. My three favorite things. Have you looked at Quibi?
Quibi, no. I can't believe you're telling me something about the IT world I haven't had a look at. What is it?
So Quibi is, and I'm trying to work out what's happened here in Australia, because I went back. So Quibi was one of those things that kept popping up in my Facebook feed. So I'm obviously in the
you're in the target demographic.
But it kept popping up saying, you know, have you downloaded it, blood it. And so I thought, and to me, the name it meant nothing, and I thought, okay, well, just scroll past. And eventually I went and Googled what is Quibi, and found out that Quibi stands for Quick Bites, and it's an app where you can watch like 10-minute episodes of things. And you go, oh, I don't need to do that. I'm not a student sitting on the bus, you know, that needs 10 minutes of whatever. And then you go, oh, that show's got Anna Kendrick in it. Oh, that looks quite good. I might look at that. And it's really, really good, and it's really well produced. And you think, this is really good. 10-minute episodes are fantastic. Why hasn't someone thought about this before? So I think in Australia it must have been launched earlier in the year for about $12 a month. And I'm gathering what must have happened, and please, if I've got this wrong, someone tell me, but I'm gathering maybe it didn't take off like they thought it would take off, and now it's free to download it. And I imagine what they're hoping will happen is that enough people will, you know, take the plunge and then decide, oh, actually this is really good, and then they'll start charging us for it, you know, like they have with you know, Apple TV and all the rest of it. But there are quite a few things on there that are quite good. And
is it original content?
Yeah. Yeah, it is original content.
It's a streaming service.
Yeah. And so the one thing I watched, I think it's called The Dummy, and it had Anna Kendrick, and she was being all very Anna Kendrick and really amusing. And the idea behind it was she was dating a television exec, and he confesses to her that he's got a sex toy. because she finds a little bit of glitter on the bed, and it comes out that that's part of the sex toys outfit. And he brushes it off as a, you know, it's nothing. And she thinks, well, do I really care? Do I care if he's got a sex toy? No, I don't think he does, until the sex toy starts talking to her. And then it's funny, and it's really funny, and it's, you know, original, and, you know, it's a good giggle. And I, you know, all of a sudden, and the thing with 10-minute episodes of things is it's totally designed that you're sitting there on your phone just watching it on your phone, but you find yourself with your headphones in and you've watched it, but you haven't really kind of watched it because you've also put on a load of washing, and then you've, you know, cleaned out the oven, and then you've started cutting up the chicken, and, you know, oh, I've done two episodes while I've had sort of one eye on this and one eye kind of not. So I can see that it is perfect for the next generation of person that sits with three screens in front of them.
Oh, I was going to say, it's just an indictment on our minds, our ability to concentrate.
It totally is. It totally is. So anyway, that was one that I thought, have a look at it. Also, Delicious Magazine has a podcast now, and I love Delicious Magazine. And
me too. Yeah. I was always a subscriber when I lived in Australia.
Yeah, and I've given it as presents, like subscriptions to Delicious Magazine as well.
Yes.
But I really like their podcast, because you would think that it would just be the usual, you know, sort of Lex interview a foodie about food or whatever, but it's the message behind it is very much zero waste. And so when they're talking about food, they're talking constantly about, it has that whole zero waste message of, what are you going to do with that half a broccoli that's left behind in the crisper? If you're Matt Preston, who was interviewed last week, you're going to turn it into a laksa, or you're going to blanch it and freeze it, or you're going to make broccoli and frozen pea hummus, or broccoli and chili and sweet potato pasta, or impossible quiche, or a black bean and broccoli. Like, there's lots of ideas, and it's fun. And it did actually really start making me think about food wastage, and how, you know, when I was a kid, Nikki, Sunday nights were leftover nights, and you would have never, you know, my mum never would have cooked a whole meal on a Sunday night. It would have been what's in the fridge, and, you know, we would have jaffles on Sunday that maybe had the spag bog sauce from the middle of the week, you know, and you.
Oh, that's the best.
Yes.
bit of cheese, spag bol sauce, bit of cheese on a jaffle. Fantastic.
So I really liked that. And then the other thing I wanted to recommend, Nikki, is ABC iView has all the Australian movies you could ever think of available to watch at the moment. So if you're feeling a little tinged,
because there's no new TV.
That's right. And my kids aren't real fans of Australian movies. They are quirky Australian movies. I have to say, there is something very unique about Australian movies. And so we've done Strictly Ballroom, and we've done all of those, and I've really had to entice the kids into them. And I wonder, I don't know if it's an age thing or whether it is a third culture kid thing, because
even when you look at the difference between, say, an American movie and a British movie, just the slickness and the you can tell if something's a British production versus a US production.
Yes.
Regardless of the accents on the screen.
Yes.
And it's almost the same for Australian movies.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I started rewatching The Castle the other day because I was talking to someone about jousting sticks.
Yes.
And I found that, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to Google that. Because I always say, oh, jousting sticks, tell him he's dreaming. And then I thought, wow, I haven't seen that for so long. And then I started watching, I was like, oh, dear, it is really different. Like, you really have to have a totally different mindset to watch an Australian movie.
Muriel's Wedding. Just so good, so, so good.
Such a great movie.
But one of the movies that came up was Little Fish, which has a very young Cate Blanchett in it. And, I had forgotten about Little Fish. It's called Little Fish because they're selling heroin. They're using those little soy sauce things, the Little Fish. Yeah. And it was brilliant. But I was thinking, you know, this is a really – It's an acquired taste, I think, probably, Australian movies.
Yeah.
What about you? What are your three favourite things?
Oh, yes. Okay. So because we haven't done this for a few weeks, I've got a few here. So I'll have to pick three. New York Times bought Serial Productions, Serial the podcast. So it has now been bought by the New York Times. And so if we remember season one of Serial, I mean, that's when a lot of people started listening to podcasts. That was sort of 5 or 6 years ago. That's when podcasts became sort of more popular, when people went out of the This American Life into Serial. Anyway, they have a new podcast out called Nice White Parents.
Oh.
And if you have ever had children in the public school system in the US or are at all interested about the US public school system, you have got to listen to this podcast.
Oh, really?
I was listening to it going, oh, my God, yes, yes, yes. But just for context, and it's very controversial and created quite a lot of talk. It is based in New York, around a school in New York, and the premise is that the problems with schools, public schools in the US, are nice white parents, because they always go in with the best of intentions and then there's no follow through. So the first episode opens talking about how in the 60s, when schools were integrating, they were going to open a new public school in New York, and they were going to open it in the middle of this area where there are a lot of Latinas and African Americans. And so the school would be sort of a black, brown immigrant school, and all these white, nice white parents got on board and said, no, 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 move the school over here, like to the very edge of the district, and that way it will have white kids and black kids and brown kids, and the school will be much more mixed. It'll be a much better school because, you know, everyone, and it'll be properly integrated school. And so they lobbied the school board, and the school moved the school moved the location, and then the school opened and no white kids went there. So all the parents that had lobbied to say, and then they went back and interviewed these parents who said, oh, it just wasn't the right feel and this and that. And so but they lobbied for it because they were the do-gooders, you know. And so it's so interesting. I'm really loving it. I think it's sort of 5 or 6 parts. So I've listened to the first 3. So that's on my list, Nice White Parents by Serial. The other thing is I've got a new podcast. I've got a new favorite BBC podcast, so Global News Podcast.
Uh-huh.
Now, my world can be very, like, you know, I love politics. So my world can be very drowned in what's going on politically in the US, the UK, Australia, whatever. But if you listen to the BBC News, did you know, Kirsty, that there's been quite a controversial election in Belarus in the last week?
No.
And basically every day Belarus has led the BBC Global News Podcast.
Wow.
Because, in fact, on the BBC Global News Podcast, it gives you actually what's happening in the whole world. And so I have like the diversion of that. I love news. I like to consume news, and podcasts are my favorite form of that. So I'm a big fan of Global News Podcast of the BBC. Now, my third one is going to be, now I started listening to this. I mean, I started watching this a while ago, and then it's been on every podcast in sort of the last month that I've listened to. And then the other night you said to me, oh, and then I just bang on another episode of Yellowstone. I'm like, everyone is on Yellowstone, because I think Yellowstone, which I had not watched before recently, is actually winning out of COVID, because Yellowstone, yes, is in its third season, but people, there's no new TV. So people are looking for stuff to watch, and they've come to Yellowstone, which I basically think is like Succession with cowboys. So it's got all these damaged, difficult, horrible characters that you end up rooting for, but it's on a ranch and there's a lot of horses.
Yes.
So, and it has Kevin Costner, so it's a bit reminiscent of Dances with Wolves. You keep expecting him to get off the horse, do a dance.
Yeah, because it does have that great cinematography as well. Now, I started watching Yellowstone because, as you know, Nikki, I listen to about 6 hours of football podcasts and programs a day.
Yes.
And my two favourites in the morning are Gary Lyon and Tim Watson out of Melbourne, and they would be prime Yellowstone targets because they're, you know, in their 50s and 60s and are ex, you know, professional footballers. But one of them sort of said to the other, are you watching Yellowstone? No, no, you've got to give it two episodes and then you'll be in. And I have to say, I thought, because, you know, I'm all of the television I'm watching at the moment is, of course, with my husband. And so I thought, well, this will be good, because we are in the middle of a 20-day football festival at the moment too, where there is football on every day. So we have basically watched, oh, great, there's a game tonight. Oh, great, there's another game tonight, because AFL football is playing in a hub up in Queensland. But, Nikki, I watched the first one and just thought it was the most ridiculous thing I had ever seen. Like, seriously, was watching going, this is kind of Dallas, but Dallas in better production quality. And then I got to the second one, it was like, God, everyone's so melodramatic and so full on, and they are. But then you start to just, you know, by episode four, and then here we are, we're at season two, episode two, and my husband and I walk around the corner today to look at a house that's for sale, and it's basically a house that has great sort of beach, well, not, you know, nearly beach frontage, and it's going to go, you know, for $1 million, and it's probably a knockdown. And I say to my husband, oh, you know, if you had money though, would you buy it? And he goes, oh, you know, if I won a lotto, I'd offer them $8 million and tell them to be out of there in the next 2 days. And I said, you've watched too much Yellowstone. You've watched way too much Yellowstone.
It is, honestly, it's just, it's one of the things we've talked about before. It's like good escapism. Yes. So we don't want to watch anything that's very difficult. We don't want to watch things that are,
yes,
hard, and we still want to watch something new. And I mean, I would say it's a little bit abrupt, like if it was Succession, but it's almost like Succession. There's a family dynasty and a drama, and I think it's more Succession than Dallas, just because of maybe not storyline, because, God, I don't know. You didn't know you could get away just like shooting all those people, yes, in modern day America.
And burying
them. No one
ever
looks for them. But okay, so it might be a little bit more Dallas. But it's mesmerizing. And if you watch it on a reasonable size, like I've been watching it on my laptop sometimes, but when I watch on the TV, I think, wow, like this is amazing, because obviously the landscapes and everything are just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. And I think too, I wonder, Nikki, if that's when you say, you know, COVID, I think, because I usually like TV where I'm looking at people, like I loved Mad Men because it was so visually beautiful. I loved looking at what people were wearing and the houses they were in and things like that. So usually something like, I was about to call it Succession, something like Yellowstone wouldn't tie me in, but I'm finding myself captivated by the scenery. And I wonder, is it that wide open spaces and that feeling of, you know, because we're all not feeling that. Okay, Nikki, we've got to move on because I have to go and cook my children dinner, and it's now 6:15 because you and I just chatted for the lazy hour or so before we even recorded the podcast. But I wanted to say, we usually do our, what do we call it, our four fat, what do we call it?
Four fat things.
Yeah. So we usually do our four fat things. And what I've realized is I'm very good at doing the four fat things, but I'm very terrible at showing you that I've done the four fat things. I don't share it anywhere. So my thing that I had to do last time was the four veggie meals that I was going to do, which, yes, I did do. So I did.
And I wanted to know what they were.
Yes. And I know. And I haven't shared them or shown them or done any of that. But one of the things I did was a roast capsicum and tomato soup. I did another potato and leek soup. And that's, soups are a bit popular at our house because my husband's starting to get quite ill from the radio. So he's got to be a bit careful about what he, yeah, eats. But we did a chickpea and the Swiss chard salad that's from the Ottolenghi Simple cookbook, which I, yep, do. And then hashtag the stew, which is the stew from the New York Times, which just went bananas, and it's like a spiced kind of chickpea stew with coconut and turmeric. But what I wanted to say for my four fat things is this week, what I'm going to do is make sure that I take four photos or do four to, for a little bit of creativity, is put them on Instagram. So that will be the start of my getting back into sharing and doing things. So I'm going to share four things on Instagram this week. I know that sounds ridiculous and that doesn't sound like much of a challenge to do, but it is for me because I've just really got out of the habit of sort of sharing anything. So I'm going to go off and take my four photos of, you know, what I'm doing this week, or cooking or making or walking or biking or whatever. I want to know from you, Nikki Moffat, did you ride your bike to work four times?
I did not do that. And so then I will be doing that this week as well. And then I will also do four fat things. I will also post every time I do, not ride my bike, but I'll do four fat things around town.
Yes.
So it's all about being a tourist in your own town at the moment, if you can go outside. So I'm going to do that.
Yes. And so for those who are feeling sad and gloomy, or, you know, just generally finding life tough, I think this is a good way of connecting too with our hashtag four fat things. So come over. You can find me on Instagram. I think I'm Shemozzle or I'm Kirsty Rice. I'm not sure. I'm one of those things.
You're Shemozzle.
I am Shemozzle.
You're at Shemozzle.
S-H-A-M-O-Z-A-L. And you are Nikki Moffat on Instagram, right?
I'm Nikki Moff on Instagram, but we'll also, I'll also post them. If you put them on your personal, I'll post them to the Two Fat Expats Instagram page.
You're
as well.
A star. Okay.
To the story.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Good chat, Kirstie.
I know. Maybe we should try this for next Sunday. This timing feels good.
Does it feel good for you? Okay. Yes. It might. It works for me too.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I feel like I haven't dragged you out of bed on your way to work.
Yeah. Because I'm normally at 6:30 before work. Yes. Yeah, so this is good. A Sunday morning works for me.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. Well, good chat. What's for dinner tonight as you leave to
green chicken, to green dinner? Chicken curry tonight. A request from a daughter who's working all day in a kitchen washing dishes. That was the request I got this morning, 8 o'clock. Can you make your green chicken curry?
Okay. Well, that's lovely. Enjoy that.
All right.
And we'll speak later.
Okay.
Maybe post the photo.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.